Good morning, church. Let me just get adjusted here. How's everybody doing today? Oh, I think that's because Auburn lost last night. Is that why it's not so exciting? Huh? You know, I have this theory that our services are either happy or not, depending on the game the night before. So I know last night wasn't a good game for Auburn, but for Tuskegee it was. Tuskegee won, it was 49-0. And so Trey just thought, yeah, they did okay. They just got by. Travis, but it was an exciting game for them, not so much for Auburn. But I hope today you're really excited to be here at church. And I don't know about you, but I love coming to church. I'm coming down. I snuck out for a second during the intermission, and I'm all the way down the hallway. I can hear this chitter chatter going through the hallways, and it's coming all the way down from the last room on the end, which is right here, and that's our awesome fellowship. And so it's really, really awesome to be together this morning. Let's go ahead and let's start out with a word of prayer today. Father, thank you so much for this time to be together. God, we're so grateful, Father, for all that you've done. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for just the impact that you've had on our life, Jesus, for the grace and the love that you've shown each one of us. Thank you that we could be here today as new people, God, that we are not the same person that we were when we were in the darkness. And Father, we're just so grateful, Father, that we can have a relationship with you. And Father, I just really pray that today will be an incredible time, that we'll be able to really get something from your scriptures, that we'll all walk out of here maybe just a little bit closer to you than when we walked in. And Father, I just really pray for this time. Let your Spirit fill up the room. Let us really be filled with joy and peace that can only come from you. Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to be talking about accepting one another. We're doing a series on one another. And so we're talking about the relationships that we get to enjoy as disciples, as Christians, the relationships that are so much different than that of the world. And so when I think about acceptance, you know, I think about in a family, you don't get to pick who your brothers and sisters are going to be, right? Now, someday you're going to get to meet my brother. He's going to probably come in town next year. But my brother and I are not so much alike. If you saw us walking down the street together, you would think that we were not in the same family. We don't look like each other. But not only do we not look like each other, we don't act we're just a lot different. And so my brother, he was the kind of, growing up, he was the guy who really liked to watch sports. I was the one who wanted to get out there and do things, and I wanted to play the sports. He was the smart one in school. I just got by in school, and so, but I passed, I got by, amen, right? He knew exactly what kind of career, from a little kid. I remember him talking, he knew exactly, he had these dreams about his career. Me growing up, on the other hand, my parents were always like, Mike, what are you going to do with your life? I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to do something. I didn't know I was going to become a minister, but I knew I was going to do something. And so, you know, he didn't have many friends because he was always studying. I was always out and always being told, you got to get back home to study. And so we were a lot alike. I mean, a lot different. Not very much alike. But in my family, I didn't get to choose my brother. Right? He is my brother because he's part of my family. And so we've learned over the years, and you know, now he's been in the same career for many, 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 many years, and you know, has a big house up on a hill, you know, overlooking a valley, and it's really beautiful there. And I, in the last, you know, years, have moved around 16 different times and kind of following God and where he wants to take me. We've lived totally different lives. And yet, when my brother and I come together, we know that we accept each other for who we are. We accept each other because we're different. but we accept each other because we're family. And that's what we get in the kingdom, is we are family. We get to enjoy accepting each other even through all of our differences. And, you know, the world that we live in, though, is not so much about accepting. You know, we live in a world where it's very hard to be accepted. And people look at you for the wrong reasons. And a lot of people will look at you because of what you wear or what color your skin is or what economic status that you have. And so there's all kinds of things that the world looks at people for. And it's very hard in our world to be accepted sometimes. And I just think about, this has been an incredible weekend. We've got to have Devante back home with us for the weekend. We feel like our son has come home from college to visit, but we know he's going back after this weekend, and we're going to cry after he's gone, but we're so excited to have him. But I was just thinking about when he was living at our house, and a lot of you guys have been over our house, and we live in a nice little quiet neighborhood, and one day, you know, Devante gets in his car, and for those of you who know who Devante is a very spiritual, very nice guy. I mean, he's just an incredible man. And yeah, who said amen? Was that his girlfriend? Yes, right there is his girlfriend. But you know, he went out one day and he called me up and he said, I think I remember the story right, but he called me up and he said, I'd been pulled over by the police. And I said, where were you and what were you doing? He said, I was just driving down the street from your house. And the police officer asked him, Devante said, why'd you pull me over? And he said, the police said, because of your seatbelt. And Devante looks at his seatbelt and he says, it's on. But somehow the police officer looked at him and thought maybe it was because of the race, or maybe it was because he was a little younger than everybody in the area. Maybe, who knows what it was? But we know that he was pulled over for a reason. I pulled out of my driveway every day of the week, and no one ever pulls me over. And so we live in a world, unfortunately, where people do not accept us very, very easily. And we're looked at and we're targeted and pegged for different things because of what people's impressions are.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, but that's the world that we live in. And the amazing thing is that we get to be something different in God's kingdom. We get to have something different. We're going to be looking at a scripture today. So, well, let me ask you this first. So, when someone's different than you, is it easy to accept someone that's totally different than you? Think about someone that has none of the character traits that you do. You know, they're just the total opposite. Maybe they're a different economic person, you know, status. Maybe they're a different race. Maybe they're a different size. Maybe they're a different look. Whatever it is it easy for you to accept someone that's totally different than you? And also, how hard is it to accept someone that disagrees with you? And I think sometimes for me that the first one's easier than the second one, because that's where my pride gets in a little bit. And we've talked about pride before. But when someone thinks differently than me, then it's a little bit harder. Can any of you guys relate to that?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody? Okay, so this is a lesson for me again. Okay, because I know I always need to change, and I got some issues. But how easy is it for you when you meet someone that's different than you? We're going to be looking, it's a little small, but we're going to be looking. I tried to fit everything on here, but turn your Bibles over to Romans 14. We're going to be staying in Romans 14 today. And I think you guys might be able to see that from the back. If not, see, this is going to be for you so that you can open up your Bibles today and not just look at the screen. Okay? And we're going to look at a scripture about acceptance. Romans 14, it says the title there is The Weak and the Strong. It says, accept one another, one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Yes. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. You know, that's an amazing passage, really just about acceptance. You know, it starts out and it says that we've got to accept those whose faith is weak. We've got to accept people whose faith is maybe a little bit weaker than our own. And I think sometimes we have a hard time doing that, because sometimes we look at others and we think, well, everybody's got to be exactly like me. And can you imagine a church that everybody was exactly like me? It wouldn't be a very fun church, right? But you can probably say that about you as well. Maybe if it were you, maybe it would be a totally fun church and there would be nothing serious. Is that Michael? Are you saying yes? That's you? So we don't want to create a church where everybody is exactly alike, right?
True.
We don't want to have that. And if you look around the room today, you get the impression here that we are not just a one kind of person church, right? We're an everybody church, because that's the way it was in the first century in the Bible. But he says here that we've got to accept those whose faith is weak. What were they talking about here? They were talking about meat. Yeah, does that look good?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was going on here in this chapter? If you're having a little bit of problem understanding what was going on, there's a lot of reading there. But what was happening that was evidently, it was a common pagan practice to kill animals and sacrifice them to their gods. And so after they got done taking their meat for the pagan ritual, what they did was they took the leftovers down to the meat market and they said, these are going to be for sale. And so now some of the brothers, when they went to the meat market and they thought about eating meat, some of them said, no, we can't eat this meat. This meat is from a pagan ritual. We can't eat it. And then another group of people said, well, we're going to eat this meat because this meat is good stuff. It's from God. And so they had, you know, imagine the room being split down in the middle here. And this half over here, they don't want to eat meat. And this half over here, they want to eat meat. And the church started getting into, obviously, a little bit of squabbling. You can find out more. There's some other scriptures, like 1 Corinthians 8 talk about this stuff about meat and stuff that was going on. Also 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 33. But they had this little division that was going on, and it was starting to get people to look at each other and go, well, that brother or that sister, they're not really faithful, or they're not really strong in the Lord because of where they stand on this meat issue. Okay? I mean, imagine the church, you know, we're fighting over where we're going to lunch after church today. But that's kind of what was going on. They were talking about meat. Now, it was a big thing because some people really went against what they believed in. But the Bible makes it very clear. It says, do not quarrel.
Amen.
Over disputable matters. Do not quarrel over disputable matters. And this is an important thing for us to really understand as Christians, because I think sometimes the thing, we got to be very wise about the things. If we're going to come and talk to a brother or sister about something, we got to make sure it's something that's important enough to talk to them about, and something that's just not a disputable matter. Okay, so here's what disputable means. The word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but that was the original word. But what it means is, it means a back and forth reasoning that is self-based and therefore confused, especially as it contributes to reinforcing others in a discussion to remain in their initial prejudice. It's also a thought or an opinion. Okay? So again, some people had this thought or opinion that meat was bad. Some people had this thought or opinion that meat was good. And this is where their little fight came from. Maybe it wasn't a little fight. It was probably something big, because Paul had to address the church. So let's think about what are disputable matters. Because this is important for us. We need to kind of know, when we're talking to somebody, is what I'm presenting to them, is it a disputable matter? Okay, so I have examples of disputable matters. Okay, the first one is, you must have your quiet time or your daily time with God before the sun comes up, because Jesus did. There is a scripture that actually says that Jesus did this before the sun came up.
Yeah.
But we can't take a scripture that was really not meant as a direction and say it is law.
Mm-hmm.
What I can tell you, though, is there's something very valuable about that scripture.
Right.
And so we've got to take it and take it for what it is. It's a disputable matter, because I would be in sin every day, because I think the sun comes up at what, 5:30? I get up around 6, so the sun's kind of almost already out. And so I wouldn't be following it. But we got to make sure, when we look at that, when people say things like that, we got to know that that's some great advice, but it also is a disputable matter. The second one I have is a disputable matter. You must be baptized in a lake on Sunday for it to be real. Okay? Now, I don't hear anybody saying this, but this is just an example to say, well, there's something that we do in the church that's not written about in the Bible how to do it, and I'm going to make up my own rule for it. So if we baptize somebody that's not in a lake, it can't be the swimming pool at the Reserve, right? That wouldn't be real. It has to be a lake, and it has to be on Sundays. Well, that's a very disputable matter because the Bible says nothing about that. In fact, we can baptize in any kind of water. It can be a bathtub, and it can be any day, any time of the day of the week. Okay? The third one I have there, you must read a Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's the one I like to read when I, you know, sometimes at home. And that's a very good translation. But I can't go around to people saying that if you don't read this translation of the Bible, you are in sin, right? Because that's a very disputable matter. That's my opinion about it. Okay, examples of non-disputable matters. Okay, the first one there, you must be devoted to spending time with God. Now, we can look all through the scriptures. You know, I picked out the one that we all know, Acts 2:42. But as we go through the scriptures, you can find many scriptures that we need to be in our Bibles, and we need to be reading them all the time, and we need to be devoted to it. That is not a disputable matter. Okay, the second one is, you must be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Okay, I've heard every argument against this and for it, and at the end of the day, I go by what the Bible says.
Right.
And the Bible says this is not a disputable matter. This is something that they did in the first century, and it's something that was for them and all who are far off, and that's what it says in Acts. And so you got scripture to back that up, right? So again, a non-disputable matter. You must read your Bible. Romans 10:17. There's scripture that supports that. Okay? So I want to be very clear what we're talking about today. We're not talking about disputable matters, non-disputable. We're talking about those things that really are just our own opinions. Amen? And I have a disclaimer down at the bottom there, just to make clear in all of our minds that accepting one another does not mean allowing each other to be in sin. Okay? Because when you actually find a particular sin, say it's pride, pride is not a disputable matter. Or if someone's sexually immoral, that's not a disputable matter. The Bible talks about it. Amen? So when there is sin, it doesn't mean that we just stay away and go, well, I accept you for who you are. Just stay in your sin. It's okay. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about areas that are very disputable, that are just opinion matters. Okay? What does the Bible say about it in the scripture we just read? When it comes to these things, it says, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? So sometimes when we see people and we see their opinions and we see how they're different, what happens is we start to judge that person, right? We start to judge them.
Yeah.
We start to look at them and we start to come up with these things in our mind about who they are, and most of those things are probably not even right. And most of the time they're probably fueled by either anger for what they said or because they're so different and they didn't go along with my way, you know. And so it says here, when there is a disputable matter, it says here that we can't judge. Why do you judge your brother and sister? You know, this is a very two basic struggles that we have in our acceptance for each other. Judging and prejudice. And really, prejudice is really just means prejudging. Okay? And this is something that we see all around our society, and this has got to be something that we do not allow into the church. Because judging and prejudice or prejudging is very harmful to relationships. It's very harmful to people.
Yep.
When we look at people and we already know exactly who they are, but we haven't even spent the time to sit down with them and talk to them. We already know what they're thinking because they did that one bad thing long ago. Therefore, they can never be trusted again.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that person has really, really changed. Well, you've just made a very bad judgment call on somebody, and that's something that we're just not allowed to do as Christians.
Amen.
And this is important. I know this may seem basic, but this is really important to our relationships in the church.
Amen.
We've got to be able to accept one another. We've got to be able to really enjoy the differences that God has made in this church. When we look around this room, we can thank God that we're all not the same. That we have so much to learn from each other, but we've got to stop any kind of judging or prejudice. And a lot of times that's not something you talk about. You don't go, well, I'm just prejudiced towards that person. But what happens is it's deep down in our minds and in our hearts, and we never express it to anybody, but that's how we feel. And that feeling starts coming out in our actions, and we start treating different people in different ways. You know, it's very common from little kids. You know, you look at in this picture, the little girl there, I don't know if it's because she's wearing brown and they're not, and I don't know what it is, but we learn from little kids that it's okay to look at that person and go, well, they're not like me, and you're kind of different, and so we make fun as children. And that follows through our whole entire life sometimes. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have any kind of prejudice in you? Do you have judgment in you? Is that something that's easy for you to fall into? I want to ask you, we're going to look at some pictures here, and I just want you to think about if these people were maybe outside your house, and you saw, we're Christians, right? So we would normally we try to invite people into our house, right? And so we're hospitable. We want them to come into our house. I want you to think in your mind, is there any differences if you saw these people? If you saw these people outside your house, would you say, I feel like these people could really, they need some help. I'm going to go and love them. Or would you go, man, these people are so different than me. Mm-hmm. These people, they got to be trouble. And I'm looking at that glass he's got over there. I know that that's beer. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's root beer. But see, in our minds, we can think that because we see what they look like, and automatically we can place a judgment on those people. You know, think about this guy. What comes to mind when you think about this guy? You know, he's a good-looking guy. He's got a nice car there. You know, we probably look, you know, he's got like designer clothes. This guy, we would think, this guy's got it all together. This guy's got life going on, right? We don't know what he's really struggling with in life. Yeah. We don't know what's really going on in this guy's heart. But when we look at the picture, we can start judging and have a prejudice because we prejudge what we think that person might be like. You know, what about this guy? You know, you might come along, and it's not so common here. We lived in downtown Long Beach, and we'd see homeless people every day of the week. Yeah. And at first, it was like, wow, this is a little bit scary. But then you talk to some of them, and you start finding out a lot of their stories are probably different than what you think. Yeah. A lot of times, we'll look at a guy like that, and we'll go, that guy was just, you know, he was just unwise with his life. He was probably a drug addict. He was probably this, this, and this, and that's why he ended up on the street. He deserves to be there. And yet, when you hear his story, he might have been abused as a child. He might have gone through so many things in life that caused him. Maybe a family member stole all his money and stole everything that he had. Who knows what the situation is? But I think sometimes when we look at certain pictures, we go, or certain people, we can think, I know exactly what that person is like. You know, how about these guys? I don't know if they're somebody famous or not. I just found their picture. Now, wonder if you saw these guys outside your house, would you go, I'm going to invite them into my house because I want to love them? And same question for this guy. Would you invite him into your house and try to love him like you would anybody else? Or would you just go to this guy and say, he's got it together, I'm going to invite him in because he's the guy who I can trust? And so when we look at that, would you go, well, you know, they've got the necklaces on, and you know, you go think these are a bunch of rappers and whatever, and they're probably in a gang. Yeah. You know, I mean, who knows what goes through our minds? Yeah. But this is exactly what the Bible is speaking against, is we can't look at things and we can't look at disputable matters. We can't look at who people are and just come up to a judgment call about them, thinking that we know something about them. You know, think about these guys. You know, what comes to your mind first? You go, terrorists or something like that. You know, how do you know that somebody, now I don't know what religion they follow, and I don't have to agree with it to accept them, right? This guy might be the nicest person in the world. He might be a really nice guy. But we got to make sure that we don't jump to a conclusion by what he looks like. You know, and then we look at this picture here, and everybody goes, oh, that's the sweetest grandma. She's so sweet. Oh, come on in, Granny. Come on into my house, and I'll take care of you. This one might be the worst person out of them all. I'm serious. How do you know that this one is probably the worst one? You look back on her life, she might have been a murderer. But how would you know that from looking at this picture? And let's be real, we do this, right? We prejudge people all the time. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. Because when we do that, we're not giving people the opportunity to express who they really are. We're not being fair to those people. You know, poor Granny there, the murderer, and you just invited her into your house because you prejudged her and you said, this woman is great. Okay? We can't do that. You know, Paul asked three very important questions in the scriptures. He said, who are you to judge someone else's servant? That's in verse 4. In verse 10, he said, why do you judge your brother? In verse 10 again, he says, why do you look down? Or I think some versions say contempt. Why do you look down on your brother? You know, I thought about those questions, and those are very, very important questions. You know what I came to the conclusion is? I think I'm better. The only reason that I would judge someone else and have a prejudice on them, and I don't care what it's for, it could be this guy that lives in this big house, it could be someone that's a different race than me, it could be whatever, it could be someone, he's a football player and I'm not, you know, it could be whatever. The only reason that we judge people is because we think that we're better. We think somehow, some way, God made me better than all of you because I got the way. But let's be real, that's how we think, right? Because otherwise, we would have no judging and we would have no prejudice in our world. The problem is too many people think that they're better than the other.
It's true.
Verse 13 of the scripture in Romans that we're reading. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. There's some good direction for us as a church. Yeah. We've got to not pass judgment on anybody. And that means, it's funny, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've heard these funny phrases like, that person looks open. They're open to God. They look open to God. Yeah. Well, tell me this. How does a person look open to God? Was there something written on their forehead that says, I'm looking for Christ right now? How can you already determine that that person is open, and then you walk back past the other guy who you think, nah, he's probably not open? Mm-hmm. How do you come to those conclusions? But I think those things also follow us into the church. You know, when we look at each other, we've got to stop judging each other.
Amen.
We've got, now I think we're always going to have some, we're going to fall into it once in a while. And that's where we need to help each other and see that this is not part of the relationships that we want to have in the kingdom of God. Right? So we're working on family. We're talking about family. This is so important because once you start judging someone, you've already lost a chance of really building a great relationship with that person and really finding out who they are. Finding out that they may have some strengths that you don't have and they may be better than you in certain areas that you're not good at. But I think we sell ourselves short, and we hurt the other people by pretty much putting up this wall and saying, these are the people that I'm going to be close to, and these are the people that I'm not. And I've heard this over and over, even in the church. I've heard some people say, I don't want to be in a discipling relationship with that person because they're not this. They're not a very open person, or they're not a very warm person, or they're not whatever. And we already make these judgments of saying, you know what, I'm going to be in a discipling relationship with this person because they're different than me. That means God can teach me something about how differences are incredible, how I can learn from what that person is good at. We got to stop passing judgments on one another. I found this picture. It says, that delinquent could save your life. You know, if you saw this guy riding his Harley on the left, you might never know that he was a doctor when he goes to work. And so first impressions are something that it's something we all do, right? We look at someone, we'll go how they're dressed. Someone walks into church and they got dirt on their clothes. How do you know they didn't rush off of work to get here just so that they can make it? But already we're thinking, well, oh, this guy, boy, he's, you know, what's wrong with him showing up to church like that? And so again, you know, you would never know. We might think that guy is some kind of rough guy, but yet he's the guy, probably the same guy that could save you. We got to make sure that we don't judge. Amen. You know, the scripture that we just read here has some really, really cool points in it. Look in verse 15. Paul states there, he says, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Meaning that if someone reacts to you eating or what you're not eating, he says that person is no longer acting in love. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. And so it says there that we've got to make sure that we're acting in love. It says make every effort to make sure that there's peace and there's mutual edification in the church. He says we've got to love. And he says if what I'm doing causes another brother or sister to struggle or to stumble or to fall, I got to make sure that I am not thinking about myself, but I'm thinking about the other person. What's very interesting about this is Paul really never addresses who was right or wrong. He never really said, now he said one might have more faith than the other, but Paul never said, you're right and you're wrong. But what he did say was he pointed them in the direction of love. He said, you're not loving if you do this. And that's the same direction and pointing that we need when we think about our relationships and we think about how we judge each other. We think about, you know, how we treat our brothers and sisters. It's important that we focus on love and we quit it. We just quit judging each other. Does this hit home for some of us?
Yeah.
Like, do you do that? I want you to think about who you are. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, you know, so you're like, yeah, I'm prejudiced. No, that's not what I want you to do. But I really want you to think about this. I want you to think as you look around the room today, do you treat somebody different because of something? I don't care what that is. You fill in the blank. I treat this brother different because he's blank. Or I treat this sister, I don't talk to this sister as much as I talk to the other sisters because they're this. I want you to really think about that. Because this is so crucial in our relationships. Because God, He made us all right before Him, right? So we're all Christians. We're all exactly equal in this room. There's nobody. I've got a different role maybe than you have in this room, but my role is equal with yours. There is no such thing as one above the other. We all are the same, and we're all in this the same. And we've got to make sure that that's how we treat and how we look at each other. Oh, and going back to this thing here, It says, you know, it says if what you do causes another person to stumble. I think we need to really think about that sometimes. You know, I remember going into a movie, this was years ago, a group of us went into a movie theater, and sat down in the movie theater, and I don't think any of us really knew what this movie was. I think we just paid for something, sounded good, ran in, didn't even think about anything. We got in there, and the first couple of scenes in the thing were like, I can tell this is going a bad direction. This is not a good movie for a group of disciples to be in. And so I looked around, I said, come on guys, let's go. We'll go find another movie. Half the group got up and went out the door. The other group just sat there looking, staring at the movie. And I was thinking like, wait, are they sitting in that movie because that movie's so important to them that they're gonna risk causing other people to stumble? And not even thinking about themselves stumbling, watching that movie. But I think our actions sometimes can hurt others. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to people, you know, some people, like, it isn't, Jesus drank wine, right? So it's, you know, a glass of wine, if you're over 21, it's not sin, because then you'd have to say Jesus wasn't sin. And sometimes we just put wine out on the table and we think, well, nobody struggles with this because I don't struggle with it. Mm-hmm. But we always got to be thinking about our brothers and sisters that are around.
Yeah.
And we gotta know. We gotta know, does this brother struggle with that? I'm not even gonna tempt him in any way. Because that's what the scripture says. We've gotta watch out for each other. Marge has this on our wall. Family is like chocolate. It's mostly sweet with a few nuts. You know, if you think about our family here, we are mostly sweet. But you look at our group, there's a few nuts in there, right? We're mostly sweet, but there are a few nuts. And I want to ask you this. When you get around the sweet people, it's really easy to get along with them, right? You go, this is the chocolate part. It's awesome. And we don't have any problem dealing with the chocolate. We have problems dealing with the nuts. And I want to ask you, though, when you look around this group and you look around, do you see people and do you already know, like, that person's a nut and I'm not going to talk to them? You know, we got to make sure that we see this. We are a family that's like chocolate and we do have some nuts. And we've got to, the good thing about nuts is when you put them in the chocolate and you eat them together, it tastes really well. And the same thing here, the church was never meant to be everybody the same.
Sorry.
The church was meant to have differences. The church was meant to have some people that are this extreme kind of loving people. I always like these people to say, well, that person doesn't love enough as much as this person. Well, this other person has this serving and giving side. And this other person, they're good at setting up things and they do a lot of the background work. And this other person good at finance. This other person is good at this and this and this. Together, we make God's church.
Amen.
It's together, nuts and all, we make God's church.
Yeah.
And we need to get used to that. You know, I think sometimes we sway too much. I don't know what happened to my word there. We sway too much on the judgment side, right? And then others of us, so judgment means you look at that brother or sister and you go, I don't like them because they're blank. The other side of it is the apathy side. We go, it doesn't matter what they are. They're fine the way they are. They're all messed up. I'm not going to help them. And you know what? It's kind of like, remember we did that study a while back about grace and truth?
Yeah.
If you sway one side on grace, it's not all that good. If you sway way over here on truth, it's not that good. We got to be right in the middle, full of grace and truth.
Right.
The same thing applies to this. And that's what I want to leave you with today. Is we go a little further in the scripture in Romans 15:7. It says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. How should we accept each other? We should accept each other looking at Jesus. We should accept each other with the standard of acceptance being Christ. And when we do that, that's when things get awesome. Yeah. Because when you think about how Jesus, in this scripture, just as he did it, you think about how Jesus accepted you. Well, I don't know how he accepted you, but I know how he accepted me. When I was studying the Bible, I was a mess of a person. I was in a lot of sin. I was putting God last in my life. I was so far away from God, it wasn't even funny. I was starting to get into things that my friends were doing. I wasn't getting drunk, but I was going out and drinking a few with them. I was starting to get into this path of going a very wrong direction of my life. And that's the very time that God reached out and said that he accepted me, and I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. So our standard has got to be this. And if there's one thing that I leave you with today, is that I want you to think about Jesus every single time you look at another person. When it comes to this room, our relationships in here, we got to think, Jesus. How would Jesus love? How would Jesus accept? How would Jesus take care of? How would Jesus deal with sin? How would Jesus whatever? When we go out into the world, we got to go, everybody needs Christ, not just the one I think is open. And everybody needs to be accepted and feel that acceptance. Different than condoning sin, but people need to feel the acceptance just like we felt the acceptance from Jesus.
Amen.
So let's make sure as a church that we really, really go after this. We're going to be learning a lot about relationships. And I want to encourage you, as always, to not just let church be the time where you study some of these scriptures. I want you on your own to go think about and go home and open up your Bible and start thinking about how can I be better in relationships? How can Jesus be my model when it comes to accepting each other? And I think when Jesus becomes the standard, we're gonna have the most incredible, incredible fellowship around. And people will be knocking on our door to be able to feel the same acceptance that Jesus showed us. Amen?